In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our sermon text continues our readings from Paul's letter to the Romans. We read in the 11th chapter, verses 13 to 15, and then 28 to 32. The apostle wrote, I am talking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I take pride in my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you, who were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience, so that he may have mercy on them all. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, making a blended family creates challenges. There are your children and my children and perhaps the children that we'll have together. There are also blended families through adoption. We adoptive parents get a bit of a chuckle when, after introducing our adopted children to strangers, they smile and say, "Well, yes, but do you have any of your own?" Well, the answer, of course, is that we have adopted children. We have a biological child. And yes, they are all our own, just as are the children in any blended family. The Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to the Christians in the church at Rome, a blended family. There were Jewish Christians and there were Gentile Christians, the church. The Holy Spirit had given them all faith through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ through Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. Paul primarily did his work among Gentiles, but not to the exclusion of his own people, the Jews. In fact, he wrote of them that he hoped that many of them would also believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The point that Paul's making is that the gospel is for all. The marvel of God's mercy is that it's for all because God has included all under disobedience. All people, Jew and Gentile alike, are guilty of disobedience to God's law that condemns us to hell, and that includes each of you. But it's also true that God's mercy was given for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. And so that marvelous gift of God's mercy also includes each of you. And so that leads us then to our theme, the undeniable marvel of God's mercy. Well, see, first of all, that even in rejection, that gospel calls us back. And that marvel of God's mercy grants the unlimited riches of salvation in Christ. The Apostle Paul often wrote about the glory of his gospel ministry to the Gentiles. But Paul really gave glory to God for his ministry to the Gentiles by carrying it out faithfully and by carrying it out energetically. And so to the Romans, he had now written to them that God had, through the gospel ministry of he and the other apostles, had brought them together under that marvelous mercy of God. All of them who were included in God's judgment against sin were also included in that redemption and reconciliation that Christ had won for them. The Jews were, after all, he wrote, God's elected people for the sake of the promise that he had given to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to the patriarchs. And it was true that collectively as a nation, they had rejected the prophets and had rejected him. But even in that rejection, God was calling them back to belief. God wanted them because they were his chosen people. They had been elected by him through Abraham to be the source of the Savior. And even though they had rejected him, he had not turned away from them. It's true that now the gospel extended beyond them to also include the Gentiles, as the good news of Christ was shared with the rest of the world. But the Jews were never excluded from that. And so Paul wrote to Jew and Gentile alike, saying, you know, it's my hope that when they look at what they've lost, when they look at what they've turned their back on, when they look at the Christ again, that they will, out of envy for the Gentiles, out of seeing what God had provided for all people, that they would repent and would include themselves under that marvelous mercy of God. He was hoping that the Jews would remember God's word to Abraham and his children, I have chosen you. Even in rejection, God calls us back. He calls us back to show us how foolish we are when we think, or when we don't think, about what we have given up, if we have given up following Jesus Christ. God wants us as Gentiles to remember that what had been rejected by one people and yet still was for them also now is for us and for all people in the world. You and I need to recognize the wonderful blessing of the forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation only in Jesus Christ. It is for all in Christ because all have been included under disobedience. It's never too late. Paul wrote of the Jews that it would give them life from the dead. God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. The undeniable marvel of God's mercy is that it is always there. No matter how many times you've turned your back, no matter how many times you've fallen into sin, no matter how many times you may have doubted or wondered about your relationship with God, God's call of grace and the gospel is always there. His gift of the forgiveness of your sins and a place reserved, a seat reserved for you in heaven is irrevocable. God will never take it back, never change his mind. And in that call of the gospel, God creates a blended family. A family blended from the first people, the physical nation that he called, as he brought many to faith from it, but also as he called and continues to call Gentiles from the other nations of the earth. See, we're all the same. All people are included under disobedience. All of us have to go before God and turn toward Him and face His wrath and punishment. We must give up all boasting. We must give up making any excuses of righteousness in our defense. As God includes us under disobedience, we are then looking for mercy. We then realize our hopeless state. And then, as one writer says of Jesus, then the passionate pursuer of His enemies may at last have mercy on them all. God has mercy on us all because we all need mercy. We all have the blessing of that marvelous gift because we all need it. God has, in that mercy, given us the undeniable riches of Christ, of salvation in Christ. A little bit earlier in this epistle, Paul wrote, "There is no one who is righteous, not even one." So there is no human being who is righteous in God's sight. Jew and Gentile alike are included under this natural condition. We're all starting at the same point. We're all starting in the same condition. We are all disobedient. And so we have received that same marvelous mercy. And that mercy really has no conditions. It doesn't matter who our ancestors were, particularly Abraham. It's not based on our boasts, on our excuses, nor is it even based on our love. God did not have mercy on us because He saw something in us to love. Writing about that, Martin Luther wrote about God's gifts and His irrevocable call, "God's love does not find the object it can love. God's love creates it." God created us to be lovable objects because He forgave our sins. He washed us clean from our sin and our guilt in the waters of our holy baptism. We have received adoption as children into God's blended family. Whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, it makes no difference. It is God's will that you have been reconciled to Him in Christ. It is God's will that you have received that undeniable marvel of His mercy, on which basis He loves you and makes you His own. It is that saving faith, that saving knowledge that we call faith, that God gives to us so that we are His. Now, there is no place in God's blended family for apathy or for ingratitude or for rebellion. What is, I would suggest, a major theme in movies about families that are blended? Isn't it the rebellion of the children? We don't want you to marry that person. We don't want other kids brought into our family. We want to be just the ones alone who are in that particular family. And so there is rebellion or ingratitude against the parents for doing that. Shame on you and shame on me if that's the response that we ever have to God bringing us and others into the blended family of the church. To not be grateful, to be jealous of others who are brought into the family, to not to rebel against God, who is merciful. We think of that parable that Jesus taught of the workers, some who were hired first thing and some who were hired later. And the ones who were hired first were jealous that those who were hired late in the day received that same mercy. Shame on us if we don't appreciate and thank our Heavenly Father because He's brought us into His family where there is always the forgiveness of our sins. There is always strength against temptation. Where there is always the certain hope of eternal salvation in heaven that He gives us in word and sacrament. How dangerous it is for the child in God's family to allow the spiritual fire of appreciation for that relationship to cool into a dying ember. We're all familiar with the, I guess we would say, somewhat a caricature of the lifelong Christian who gets upset or really doesn't believe the zeal and the enthusiasm and the activity of a new Christian. They're just so excited and so willing to give their all and do everything for Christ because now they've come to recognize Him as their Savior from sin. Perhaps something better than that jealousy, something better than that putting the worst construction on it and breaking the eighth commandment, might be to listen to Paul's words. Maybe we ought to be envious of those people. Maybe we ought to look at them and appreciate where they are in their relationship with God and how they react to that relationship with God. And perhaps that will help drag us out of our spiritual stupor. Help rejuvenate us, re-energize us to appreciate, to show our appreciation for God's grace in Christ. And permit me just a sidebar this morning. As I opened the newspaper this morning, there's a huge article about people signing all these pledges and promises not to hate other people, not to be bigoted, not to be judgmental, not to hurt or harm other people. And I'm thinking, we already have that. That's the eighth commandment. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. And as Christians who are loved by Christ, who have received that marvelous gift, that undeniable marvel of the mercy of God, that's the way we want to treat people. We don't have to sign some pledge or some promise in order not to treat those who are weaker than we are with respect or with love. But isn't that what we desire? Don't we desire what we sang about in our hymn, our sermon hymn, about having that love for Christ? If there was more teaching of the eighth commandment and more teaching and preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then a lot of these problems would disappear. And it wouldn't occur to people to be bigoted or hurtful or to hurt other people or to call them names. Following our Lord's will is loving our Lord who has loved us. The Apostle Paul gave all glory to God for his gospel ministry among the Gentiles by faithfully and eagerly in his letter writing to them and reminding them of how they had become part of God's blended family. The Jews, the Jewish Christians in Rome, had become part of God's family because God hadn't forsaken his people. He said, "It's not too late. I've chosen you. The promise is still for you. And the Spirit has called you to faith." And he told the Gentiles, "Don't think you're so smart, because the reason you have it is because they rejected it. And now it's yours because God includes you in that wonderful mercy. You're all included in mercy because you're all included under God's judgment." In God's blended family, And those of you who are a little bit older will hopefully get the reference. In God's blended family, there is no yours, mine, and ours. But there is for God only children who are my own. Amen.